Thank you. I came here to praise you. I just wanted to praise you. I'll not mention my knees. You've been so good to me, Lord. I love you so. I came here to thank you. I just wanted to thank you for the many things you've done and your blessings each one. And I just wanted you to know I came here to praise you. Oh, I just wanted to praise you. I'll not mention my knees. You've been so good to me, Lord. I love you. For the And I just wanted you to know. wonderful Savior. He's on his throne. He will never forsake us or leave us alone.
I've appreciated those songs tonight. We just got back from Wichita youth meeting. It was a beautiful spirit. I wasn't really thrilled about going. It's my fourth trip this summer and the third one this month. And I'm getting older. And it's getting a little rough. But other than the traveling part, which was good, it just, you know, physically on my body, I'd just as soon. But the fellowship was there, you know, good there, coming and going just with our people in the van. And then there, such a good spirit. And that song Sister Dolores, she started out with, last night at the service there, they didn't even ever have a band number. Some people were teasing later. It's like, are we ever going to start this service? They had a young man get up, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with the prayers going on right now for Austin Linder. He's a young man. Young people might help me. He's 12 or 14. He's 12. And he has a real serious leukemia. And it's not doing well at all. And so they were really just, you know, trying to garner support from everyone. And there has been a lot of support and praying for him and among the young people. And so he had his sister there, was handing out wristbands, which I didn't get one, but I think the young people all have one. And just reminding people to pray. And the day, I think maybe the day before that, was it Brother Kyle? Got up and talked. A lot of you know they call him Fonzo, Kyle Fonzo, which I've never heard him talk before, and just did a really good job. And I think it was him that was talking about, you know, all the youth getting a burden for each other, you know, and you know, just kind of grouping together and getting that burden. And when you see it, you know, you have friends, and the next youth meeting you go to, they're not there, and you know that they've, you know, do we just kind of, oh, well, sorry, he's not here, you know, or do we really get under the burden for that? And of course, he was talking to the young people, but it applies here in our home churches, just, you know, in every way, really. Do we really have that burden for each other, for the souls, you know? And so they were bringing that out and asked everybody. Austin's brother and sister were there, and his brother, which I'm guessing is younger, I don't know, didn't have the Holy Ghost, and Austin was really wanting to see him get the Holy Ghost. So they asked everybody to come forward and start praying for those two. And that was it. No band number. You know, we went from finally started courses. And the first course that was started was Every Need Supplied. So that kind of came back to me when she was singing that song. You know, I came here to praise you. I'll not mention my needs. And I thought, Lord, again tonight and again yesterday, I don't know if he's trying to tell me something, you know, would you quit focusing on your needs, Lynette? Because that's, of course, when I hear that song, Every Need Supplied, that's the, probably everybody, I guess, it's a natural thing. I started thinking of my needs, Lord, supply my needs, you know, and I started, and then as I was going, I started thinking, well, quit being so selfish, and I started thinking of different ones here that I know. I feel like God's really, well, I don't want to try to act like God's just, you know, doing so much in me, because I'm feeling more unworthy than ever. I'm more thankful than ever for the chance that he's even given me. But I've been thinking about Brother Smith, and I'm not trying to go too far here, but just thinking about a lot of the things that he's dealt with in the last year or so, watching his mother and his grandchildren moving and losing. If you had a much beloved pet, you know that feeling. He lost a very loved pet. And there, I've just been thinking of different things that he's dealt with personally, you know. He's a minister, but he has needs. We all do. And just thinking of different ones. Here is, I started thinking about that and praying, and then, but then somehow I started thinking, here I am just praying, gimme, 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 and even if I'm saying, well, you know, help my brother, that's better, but I started thinking, Lord, there's so many needs that I've had in the past, and he's supplied everyone. He has supplied. He's been there. He's brought me through. There's spiritual, physical, emotional needs, you know, praying for my son and other family members and just so many different things. He has supplied those needs. And so that song, it really began to touch. And all I could do there, once I got to that point, I just couldn't say anything but thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Like Zach said the other night, you know, I just say thank you. And so that's how I felt during that song. But then that second one, you know, you go from, oh, you know, to, wow, we have a wonderful Savior and He is on His throne. He has never yet forsaken me. He will not forsake me or leave me alone. Oh, God, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful He will not forsake me or leave me alone. And then we have a wonderful promise, a promise that it cannot fail. You know, I want to doubt. Oh, here's something else. Here's something else come my way. Just this morning, something worrying me. You know, oh, God, what are we going to do about this? What am I going to do? But He will not fail. He has been there. He has supplied my needs. And He will not fail to do it again. I am just so thankful. I'm so thankful. Lord, keep me thankful. Keep me reminded. There is not a person here, I guarantee you, I don't care how young you are, that cannot think of some need that God supplied for you at some time. He has answered a prayer, whether it's simple enough as help me remember, you know, the answers to this test. Whatever it is, He has supplied a need for you. If you can focus on that and remember that, and then remember He will do it again. And I'm thankful for that.
Hang on.
Last week, I went shopping and didn't have much to buy, but I've been doing a lot of praying a lot lately. See a lot of people up here that don't go to Sunday school, but we've been talking a lot about marriages and stuff like that, and I've been having a rough one lately because I'm going through a divorce. And not only that, but my health is kind of going downhill, but they say the operation that I'm going to be going through is going to help me. So I've been doing a lot of praying lately. I haven't been asking for much, but except, Lord, just be with me when I'm going through these things, and I've been doing a lot of praying and everything. Well, I haven't really been looking for the Lord except praying for a lot of others and not asking a lot for myself. Well, I'll go shopping, and I don't live far from Walmart, so I got handicapped parking sticker on my car because I'm a vet. And I park in a handicapped place, and I go in, and I get my vittles and stuff and all my food. And I come out, and I notice my truck. And, of course, I got ice cream and everything, and it's 90 degrees outside. And I notice my truck's kind of 45 degrees off in level. So that's not right. Your truck's supposed to be level. And I said, daggone, that's not right. I know I got a flat tire. Lord, don't give me a flat tire in that 90-some-odd degrees. Please, please, please. So I hobble over there with my crane, my cane on my shoulder and all my groceries, and I look, and daggone if I don't have a flat tire. So I just changed my insurance and everything, and so I don't know whether I got insurance to get a towing or not, or have somebody come out, because I stopped one insurance and started another. So I come back into the Walmart and asked the lady to put my ice cream in the ice box. And she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Well, I got a flat tire on my truck." So she takes my ice cream. Lady was really nice. I said, "Well, God bless you. Thank you." And so I go over to the Subway place and sit down and take my wallet out of my car. I mean, my handbag and everything, and started calling my insurance person. "Well, it's on Saturday. They're closed." So I had to call the national office. Well, as soon as I called the national office, I got them on the phone, and I get this tap on my shoulder. And this guy from Walmart said, "They tell me you got a flat tire in your, on your car." And I said, "Yes, I do." Well, right when he touched me, he scared me, and I throw up my wallet, and everything falls out on the floor. Well, about five different people come running over, and they help me get everything back up on the table, and I start sticking it back in my wallet, and I'm talking to the people on the insurance, and I said, "Hold on, please." And the guy said, "Listen, I'll change your tire on your car for you." I said, "Well, thank you very much." And I tell the insurance people, "Never mind, never mind." I hang up. So we go out there, and we lower my flat from the car because I didn't even know where the flat was on my truck. And the guy lowers it, puts it on for me. Well, we found out my flat, I mean my spare, was halfway flat. And he said, "Listen, go as quick as you can down to the gas station." And I said, "Lord, please get me there. Just please get me there." And I talk to the Lord as much as I can, all the time. And I pray all the time I can. And I think everybody here ought to talk and pray to the Lord as much as possible. Because if you don't, you're missing out on something. Because the Lord moves in mysterious ways. And it tells you in the Bible that it moves in mysterious ways. And he's not telling us all that everything's all about. But he does move in mysterious ways. So I'm driving down there, and I'm moving as slow as I can because I don't want to pop the tire that's already on the ground because I've already popped one. So I finally get to the place, 75 cents for. Well, I got $1.25 in my pocket. So I pair up the tire, go back, find my ice cream, get in my car, go back, and I get home. And all the time, I'm looking on my window, and I see this little piece of paper on my window. The whole time I'm driving, I see this little piece of paper, and I'm going, "Gosh, I got a ticket. Got a ticket. Somebody's giving me a ticket," because they have somebody patrolling the parking lot all the time. And I figured, well, this guy's giving me a ticket for having a flat tire in the parking lot and being too long. Well, I pull out the ticket, and it says, "The Lord is my strength. My song, and he has become salvation. He is my God." Exodus 15:2. Oh, your right front tire is flat. And I looked at that after I got home, and I go, "Well, I figured out my right tire was flat, but I knew that the Lord has really moved my way because I'd been praying for so long that he moves in mysterious ways." I tipped the guy for helping me change my tire because I would have never done it by myself because I didn't have the strength. And I got home, moved my groceries in the house, and I said, "Thank you, Lord." And I prayed for a good 30 minutes and said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." And I just want to tell everybody here that thanks for a beautiful church and helping me find more than salvation in this church. And bless the Lord for helping me make it from just a couple miles from my house to from the parking lot of Walmart to my house. So save grace and keep talking to the Lord because he's there. I know it, and you should know it.
I wonder if any of the youth want to give us a report or testimony about the youth meeting. I haven't heard much about it. Appreciated Sister Lynette's report. But I want room for the youth if they want to give us anything on it. Don't all of you jump up at once.
Well, I'll go ahead and stand up and say what I have to say about the meeting. We weren't for sure if we were going to go or not. Jaron had to work and everything, but we were able to go, and we didn't get there till Friday morning for the first service. We missed Thursday night, and there was a lot of like prayer lines that went through. Not a lot of words were said until Saturday. Just a few people got up, and I didn't really, you know, really feel anything personally until Saturday morning. The band started playing Receive Our Praise, and you know, you could just feel such a feeling of God that He was there with us, and you know, everybody was praying and singing, and there was such a spirit. And you know, I started thinking about how that there's so many different people in the body from, you know, all across the world and all across the United States, and how that, you know, different churches do different things different ways, or how we do it may be different from somebody else. But you know, as youth, you know, whenever we come together and we have a meeting or we're together, there's still that spirit of God with us, you know, that spirit of unity, and that we're all there for one goal. And that was one of the things that was talked about in the meeting, about how to, you know, we're all here to lift up the Lord, and that's our main goal. And how that, you know, it's not easy being a youth. You know, there's so many things you deal with, you know, whether you go to public school or you don't, or, you know, just different things that come up in our daily lives. And somebody got up and sang a song, Lord, Purify My Heart. And it didn't take, you know, we probably went through it twice, and there was already people down front. And, you know, that's something that as a youth you have to keep that on your heart, you know, because you're always struggling with things or stuff you're going through, and you know, you have to make that your prayer. You have to make sure that God knows that, you know, I'm not going to do everything right, I'm going to make mistakes, you know, but if the Lord will help me and, you know, forgive me, you know, I want to go on and I want to do the best I can. And you know, that was what I got, you know, personally from the meeting, that if the Lord will just be with me and forgive me whenever I do wrong, I'll do my best to live for Him. And that I want to be there to lift up His name, and you know, I want Him to receive my praise and know that I'm here to work for Him. And you know, there were a few other things said, but you know, I can't really recall. But that's what I got out of the meeting, and that's what I took home with me, and that was about it. But overall, it was a very good meeting. A few people got the Holy Ghost and that kind of thing, but it was a good meeting, and that was it.
Well, before the meeting, I had a really rough week going on, and this meeting came at a really good time because I got out of the state for a little bit, and it was really refreshing for me. Sometimes you don't really need a whole lot, but just the companionship of other people from different churches going through the same thing you're going through. That's basically all I really need now in my life is the companionship, knowing it's not just us out here, you know, we're not here out here alone. There are other churches just like us. We're not exactly like us, but they're really, they have the same principles that we do. They know exactly what you go through out there every day. It's not something that is new to anyone. Everyone knows it. Everyone's gone through it. Everyone's going to go through it. It was really good for me because I love the people here, I really do, but every now and then you just need a new face. You need someone to remind you that it's not just you. I mean, they may not be there through you, with you throughout the entire trial that you're going through, but they have your back no matter what. And I know everyone here is like a family, but out there it's like an even bigger family, and I love that, so...
Have a birthday pass or some occasion that you think is going to be a momentous occasion, and you go and you expect this big thing, whatever that big thing is, and that big thing doesn't come, and then you leave and you go home and think, what was the big deal really? And sometimes you get things that you don't expect to get. When I walked into Wichita, a few years back, the last youth meeting they had before this one, it struck me that if you had told me 10 years ago that I would be there and that a lot of the people that weren't there were gone, I'd say you're crazy. We've seen so many people come and go, and then you go to one of these, you go to a meeting like this, and you see faces that you haven't seen in 10 years, and then you look around for other faces that you saw last year, and they're not there this year. You ask about them, and they say, well, they're gone. They've lost their way. And it's just like, are you kidding me? What struggle did they have that I wasn't aware of at that time? What were they going through? What could I have done? I think sometimes we tend to throw up a hard exterior. You don't want people to know. Everybody knows what people go through. But at the same time, you don't really want to. You really don't want to admit it sometimes. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, everybody likes to act like they've got it all figured out. And if we just knew what each other was going through. And took the time to know, when somebody's hurting or when they're, what they're going through. Because it's easy to look at somebody. A few years back, I read a book, and it was talked about the word a paradigm. So, and the story was this man got on the bus with a bunch of unruly kids, and they were, running around and knocking other people's things over and, hollering and carrying on, and everybody else on this particular bus was looking at him and looking at him hard, and and muttering to themselves, "Well, why can't this man take control of his kids? What's up with that?" And finally, they'd raised some as ruckus. Somebody walked up to the man and said, "You need to take control of your kids. What is the deal with this?" And the man said, "Well, I'm trying to find a way to tell them their mom just died." And then it was the paradigm. to where everybody was, you know, looking at, and then that, just knowing that one little bit of information changed how they looked at that, because they didn't see the whole situation. They just saw a little part of it. A lot of times we see just a little part of what, you know, it's easy for me to look at somebody and somebody else to look at me and think you've got it all figured out, or I've got it all figured out about you. But until we know what each other's going through, and until we take the time to slow down sometimes, that's one thing that Kyle Fonzo talked about, was slowing down and getting quiet for a while. You know, just quiet, you know, take the apps off your cell phone. He actually drew the, you know, he talked about Angry Birds and Fruit Ninja. What was the other one? Oh, he didn't mention Candy Crush, but he should have. I promise you he should have. But he's talking about just taking the time to not totally preoccupy. Excuse me?
Subway Surfer.
Oh, yeah, that one too. And now, see, I didn't even know that one existed, but I'll be looking it up. But he talked about how we need to quiet our minds and maybe take a step back sometimes. And you know, part of the reason I went to this meeting was, you know, to show support and to work for with Wichita. They always come help us. It seemed that we needed to go help them. And y'all know I've had this recurring knee problem for years and years, that I'll be going along just great, and all of a sudden I feel a little twinge in my knee, and nothing will bring it on. But then I'm laid up for 3 or 4 days, and it happened right before this meeting. And here you are at a meeting, a big meeting like this, gimping around like an old man. You know, it's like, well, maybe I am, but I don't like to think of myself that way. Everybody kept saying, "You're getting old." I kept wanting to tell them, "This has been happening since I was 17, so it's not late breaking news." But it caused me to maybe pause and consider, you know, what God's trying to tell me when He's slowing me down with something as simple as a knee. That's caused me to be laid up to the point that I can't move around like I'm used to. I can't, you know, go, you know, I'm all the time bouncing off the walls, and I can't do that. And I have to slow down and consider what's God trying to tell me? You know, what am I going to feel like when I'm 70 and I can't do these things? Where am I going to get my sense of self-worth? Where am I going to contribute then? You know, 2 o'clock in the morning last night, I'm laying there going, what am I going to do? You know, then you start, you know, you almost work yourself into a frenzy thinking, you know, just going over and over and over. And pretty soon you just start praying for peace. And just knowing that, and knowing that if I'll slow down and listen to what God has for us, and know that he's there for us. What Lynette was saying was so true. You know, this knee couldn't come at a worse time. You know, because tomorrow my new big boss is going to be in town, and I was so laid up last night that I was just knowing that there was no way I was going to be able to go to work tomorrow. But if that's the case, if I wake up in the morning and I can't, so be it. If God can bring you to it, He can bring you through it. And He knows that, you know, one of the hardest scripture in the Bible to remember is, you know, for me, is to and totally believe is Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good. You know, it's easy to remember that sometimes when sun's shining and you're having a great time and everything's going your way, and all of a sudden one little thing, one phone call, one thought can change everything. But it still holds true. All things work together for the good of those that love the Lord. And that's one thing that coming back to the youth meeting, just looking out there and knowing that you're a part of a family. You know, and it's so easy to fall prey to what the media tells us. You know, that, you know, everything is this way, everything is that way. Bad news, bad news, bad news. When there's so much good. And there's so much good. And, you know, when those, I mean, I don't know this boy with leukemia, but it made my knee feel, feel pretty small. But I thank God for all he's done over the years. I can't count the times that I've had miracles in my job. I mean, one day I got an email that they had set my goals for 2013 with a 35% increase. I felt my knees buckle. 35% increase when the economy, when it's growing good, doesn't grow 8. If you're lucky, in a really good year, it doesn't grow 8. But so I'm looking at that going, 35%? What am I going to do? There is absolutely no way that that can happen. And without thinking, I put my hand on the monitor and said, God, if you can help, you can help me do it, but I don't see any way. And it wasn't 3 seconds. Bing! Email pops up. Oh, that was a misprint. It's 12%. So that's a 12% heart attack you just gave me. But then it's easy to look at that, even at 12%. Then my doubting mind, 12%. We're in a down economy. What am I going to do? You know. But it'll take care of itself. It'll take care of itself. The Lord will take. He always has, and he always will. I've watched it, you know, for years and years, and it's so, you know, I think about the Hebrew children, and I've always, you know, how in the world could they have murmured and complained after they were fed? After, well, number one, they saw all the plagues strike Egypt. They were delivered from Egypt. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw the Pharaoh's armies drown. They were led by a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They were fed manna. They were fed quail. They were fed. They were taken care of. I mean, what more of a miracle could you see than a pillar of fire in the middle of the desert telling you which way to go at night? But still, they murmured and complained and doubted. And I think, well, you know, I can't believe that they would do that. And then I get a 35% increase in my sales territory. And what do? I murmur and I complain. I mean, and it's no more miraculous to me at that time in my life to have my goals go from 35 to 12% or whatever it was than it was for them to see that. And still I murmur and still I doubt. Shame on me. But I am thankful. I got up here to sing, but I don't even know if I'm feeling that now, but let's do it anyway. Let's try E flat.
You will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so dear. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory. Family so dear, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joined hands with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm the family of God. From the door of an orphanage to the house of the king, no longer an outcast. to riches, from the weak to the strong. I'm not worthy to be here, but praise God I belong. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join days with Jesus as we travel this side.
Sister Alex said, sometimes you just need to know somebody's there. Amen. And I really appreciated our youth having this youth meeting to go to, and I miss having it here, you know, but I know how taxing it would be for you to try to host two general meetings in 1 year. And since we have the November ministers meeting coming up this year, we always try to see if Wichita will help us out on that year that we have a general ministers meeting. But I feel like our youth need it. They are living in a really critical time, and I really appreciate our youth. I feel like it's difficult for them to find their way in this life, this world, and be able to hold on to God and locate Him. Get this figured out. It takes time to get your life established in God. It's a working process all the way through, kind of like Brother Brett was talking about it. You know, we all like to act like we've got it figured out. I've been saying in some of the meetings, I've been telling some of the ministry that I think some of the doctrines that we're not together on, we ought to quit preaching it like this is how it is. We ought to preface what we're saying by saying, this is my current understanding of and how I see this subject. But I'm trying to stay open, you know, so God can deal with me. And that's how it is with your walk with God. This is a walk of faith. And, it's all a learning process. And God has to help you through it. You know, it's not, you just don't serve God without His help and assistance. He gives you a measure of faith, a measure of grace, and you have to live in that measure. That scripture in Romans, the 12th chapter, that says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Well, it first says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, is that how it says it? There it is, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then it says, and be not conformed to this world. See, this conforming is a process. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It takes time for your mind to get a hold of the things of God, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, you know, I've heard that preached two different ways, and I've changed on it. No, I used to think that the good and acceptable and perfect will of God was three stages that you go through. You know, that when you come to salvation, that's good. And you start serving God and He accepts you, you know, as you how you are. And then finally you get into His perfect will, where you're serving Him in every way. But that scripture's really not saying that. It's really saying that you go through this transformation so you can prove His good, acceptable, and perfect. It's just one will. It is all three of those things. It's good, acceptable, and perfect, but God doesn't accept less than perfect or In other words, when God gives you a measure of grace, He gives you faith. He touches you to believe something. You have to answer Him with only what's acceptable to Him. It has to be perfect. It has to be a perfect response. In other words, I will. That's your response. Yes. God won't accept anything else. But you're yielding to Him. Now, you can't walk perfect, but you're proving, as you walk in faith, you're proving out what is acceptable with God, what is perfect, what is good or righteous. All those things are really synonymous. You come to God, there's only one thing He'll accept, is your humility, your humbleness, to fall before Him and say, God, I need You. I repent of my sins, and I need You in my life. And I'm asking You to, you know, accept me and to forgive me. And I'm willing to do Your will. That's all He'll accept. He won't accept anything else. You can't say, well, God, I'm going to try this out, but I'm watching You, and I'm going to see how this goes. God ain't going to accept that. No, you just have to be, you have to answer God in the only way He'll accept it, and that is, God, I'll do Your will. You'll have to help me, but I'm willing to do Your will. As much as it's within me, I'm willing to submit to You and learn Your ways. He'll honor that. And so, it's a real process, this walk with God. And I've been talking some lately about the mechanics, you know. And that's not a biblical word, so I guess I should use, you know, the natural side. But you have to, you know, you have to realize there is a natural side of serving Him. You got to get in it's got to get in your everyday life. There's rights and wrongs. There's things that you've got to understand that you can't do anymore and serve God. You can't. This world wants to compromise with everything, but you can't compromise to serve God. You've got to make up your mind to be holy, called out, separated, sanctified for God's His calling and His purpose. And you've got to endeavor to obey Him in all that you know to do. And, you know, some people say, you know, like part of the mechanics is the do's and don'ts of serving God. The keeping His commandments. By the way, would one of you brothers check and see about what time dinner's going to be ready? So I know I don't have time to talk about all what's on my heart. Huh? Really? All right. Yeah, I know it. Don't worry, I won't forget that. See, Sister Joyce won't let me forget. She's got to pay the bills this week. There is, you know, in this process of serving Him. In fact, I might just say a little bit more about it since we've got a little bit more time. It won't take me but a few minutes to say a few things. That's on. Mentioned this morning in Bible study. Turn to Psalms 19. I got this. I started. These thoughts came to me by Sister Oates texting me a question about the acceptable year of the Lord, I think it was. And, you know, that I may not be remembering that right. Is that right? Is that what you... Anyway, I texted her back an answer about, you know, that the acceptable time the Bible's talking about was talking about the New Testament church, and when there's a divine order of God, there's a time that's referring to in the scriptures. In fact, here in the 19th chapter, I think it may say something about it here anyway, but there is what under the new covenant, what God accepted under the new covenant was a full life of perfection. That's what He requires. That's what He's requiring down here. In fact, that's what He requires for salvation. You're going to have to overcome your sinful nature. And God, we don't have everything in place yet that God's going to help you get there. But what we do have in place, He's requiring of us. And because He's restoring the church, and we don't have a church fully restored yet. But I might just, here in the 19th chapter, this chapter is dealing with really the church, the New Testament church, and Jesus coming to it. Said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Of course, He's using a picture of the natural heavens out here and to show God's, how great God is, His magnificence, day unto day. But it's also talking about the church, the assemblies of the New Testament church. They presented the gospel in the full manifestation of God in the end of the Jewish world, and they took it to all that known world back there. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. They covered it. They did all of God's will. And that gospel went into all that world. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. You can look at Romans 10:8 if you want to. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. It's a picture of Christ, the Son is. When it comes up, there's a day. There's a time of light that God is going to manifest Himself to this world. And the time that God manifested Himself to this world was when He sent Jesus to this world, really not when He was here on earth in the flesh, but when He came back on the day of Pentecost and was manifested in the New Testament church for a 45-year period. And that was the day of the Lord and the acceptable time of salvation. That was a time that God could save you eternally. And it says His going forth is from the end of heaven and His circuit unto the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. Then it says, and I said something about this morning, if you want to, you know, get these different definitions that I gave, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That the law of God is the whole piece of pie. It's, you know, the law of Moses, it contained a lot of things, but the whole of it was the law. It's called the law of Moses. The law of God. And the law of Moses is, you know, the Ten Commandments. It's got a lot of lot of precepts and a lot of ordinances that was added to it, but those Ten Commandments was the law of God, and it shows the nature. It's just the characteristics of God's nature that He wants in us. They're still intact today. He didn't change that. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The testimony is the witness of God. That's whatever God does in your life and in this earth bears witness that He's real. That and if you're wise enough to recognize God's reality, you know, and if you're just simple enough to believe when God does something and you can see the handiwork of God or God's dealing and His testimony or His witness here in the earth. I've always said the Spirit of the Lord, being one of the seven spirits of God, is that's what He reserves for Himself. It's His presence, His Spirit. God reserves for Himself a way to manifest Himself in His person. And it's His presence. And then, of course, Christ, we know. God manifested Himself through Christ, and He manifested Him as the Word of God or the wisdom of God. But then it says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The statutes of precept are, in the natural law down here, it'd be a legislative act that legislators put into, put a law, a statute or a precept in the law. They add something. A statute is part of God's law, and it defines what the law's for, what the commandment's for. It tells you what's wrong with certain things, regardless of what it is. It's like, God, he dealt with one of the statutes of the law was the law against homosexuality. Man with man, woman with woman. What's wrong with it? It creates confusion. You can't reproduce that way. Sex or intimacy is for reproduction of humans. It's not for and under the law, if that was committed, the penalty was death. Or man with an animal, that the penalty was death. There, God, He gives those statutes, and then He gives the commandment, don't do it. And here's why. There's other things like, you couldn't. You couldn't marry too close within the family. That can bring confusion into a family. But the principles of morality are involved in some of this. And God wants, He wanted us to stay clean and understand God's purpose for making man, God's purpose for making women. Women are to be a helpmate to men. Men are to be the one who's responsible for, the answers of their relationship, but He's to consider and treat the woman right. God made her to be a helpmate to Him. And so God gives statutes. Statutes are their precepts of the law that tells you what's right and what's wrong and why you can and cannot do certain things. And that brings forth a commandment. A commandment is what he goes on and says, that the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. If you'll keep the statutes of God, you'll have integrity. That's why it rejoices the heart. You'll have integrity with yourself. And it always feels good, doesn't it, when you know you're doing right. I don't have no I'm not having to look over my shoulder. I'm not expecting God to judge me because I'm doing right. Sometimes I hear people, and even myself, when things aren't going so good, we're always saying, God, what's going on here? Are you talking to me? Sometimes I tell God, if you're talking to me, I don't know what you're talking about. I need help. Is this just happening? You know, there's things, you know, sometimes it's just if nature takes its course and God wants you to go through certain experiences in life. He's not going to just bail you out of every little problem that you face in life. But God also chastises his children, and he may deal with you in certain ways. He may set a roadblock up. He may, you know, I told somebody, Brother Brett, while you was talking, I said, God may, he may mess your leg up where you can't go to work tomorrow because he may be saving you from getting fired. Your boss may be in a better mood another day and he don't need to see you tomorrow. That's a paradigm for you. But I doubt that that's the way it is. I don't have any feeling from God about that. I just brought that up that, you know, it's another side of the coin that you could look at, you know. But, you know, he's looking at it like, oh, God, my knees bother me and I ain't going to get to work. My boss is not going to like, my new boss is not going to like that. Well, we don't see, we don't know what God may be doing. That's why this is a walk of faith and we're feeling on God all the way. Let me tell you something about God, though. God's not going to beat you to death over something you don't understand why you're getting a beating. He don't just jerk you up and go to waylaying you, and you don't know, what am I doing wrong? You know. But sometimes he does have to get your attention. Because you might think, you know, I'm doing good when you're not doing good. God, you may have convinced yourself that, you know, certain behaviors in your life are acceptable to God when they're not acceptable, and he may have to deal with you to get you humbled down enough that you'll start asking him, are you unhappy with me, God? Is there something I'm doing? And if you'll ask God, Lord, will you show me? Will you show me what I need corrected in my life if you're trying to correct me? I promise you he will if you'll give him an opportunity to. But you may have to seek him. You know, you're not just going to pass by one time and just say, Lord, I don't know if this is you or not, but if it is, I don't know what it's all about. Well, God might say, well, when I get done with you, you're going to know what it's all about because I'm going to wake you up. You know, that happens. But also, sometimes you just go through things. It's just natural things of life that God's not going to bail you out of it. There's great... benefit and wisdom that comes through experience. And sometimes when you're asking God to, you know, prevent this from happening, he may just want you to go through it because you'll gain through the experience if you learn how to take it right, find your way, and find a way to keep the right spirit and use the God's precepts while you go through it. That's how he's with you. He'll go with you through the temptation. God will be there with you. But he may not deliver you from it. But if you'll seek God, he may help you in through what you're going through to have enough wisdom not to go through it again, because you may have been the one that caused it to happen to start with, and God may want you to learn how not to keep doing the same things, causing the same results. So there's so many facets of serving God. That's why if we can learn the benefit of God's law, that it's perfect converting the soul. And his witness of dealing. Every time God deals with you, it's such a great thing that God bears witness with you that I'm real, that I love you. And And my statutes have a purpose. That's why they're there. You're to understand what's right and what's wrong in life. See, I've had people tell me just like about standards. Standards is one of the mechanics. Standards, I'm talking about, you know, just our standard of life, our behavior. But dress is one of them. I have a lot of people sometimes tell me, well, I just think we just need to be moderate. It's true, you need to be moderate. But if you took 100 people in a room and asked them, give me moderation in dress, you'd get 100 different answers. And some of them's moderation. Some people would think, some women or girls think they could be moderate in short shorts and halter tops. They wouldn't see nothing wrong with it. Because their mind, they don't understand the statutes of God. They don't understand what that does. That's why it takes a ministry to show, to preach what's wrong with certain things and what the outcome will be if you do those things. That's why there's commandments. A ministry has to lay down commandments of what's wrong with certain things according to the statutes of God's Word. And those are commandments that come from statutes, and judgments are the result. Whether it's a judgment of God's blessing because you kept it, or judgment of God's punishment because you disobeyed it. It all brings judgment in the end. You know, judgment's not all good. There's good judgments. God's blessing is judgment. The commandment of the Lord, 8b, is pure, enlightening the eyes. Once you see the statute and you see the benefit or the reason for the commandment, that opens your eyes to something. Oh. And then the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. In other words, when you get to a place that you fear God, reverence Him, His law, His statutes, all these things that He's mentioning here, that will keep you clean forever. Once you can put God in His rightful place and give Him reverence and awe for what He has to say about things, and you're willing to respond to that correctly and be obedient to it and apply it to your life, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Then verse 10 said, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them what? Who? What? The law, the testimony, the statutes, the commandments, the fear of God, and the judgments of God. By them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. God, you know, most of us have something that, you know, that we're wrestling with that we don't know nobody to know. Am I the only person in here that's got that problem? Thank you, Brother Paul David. See, but we are to be saying, God, cleanse me from it. Help me to find the answer for that. Because there's things as you serve God that you're gonna come to a place that, you know, like, for an example, let's just take standards for an example. A new Christian, new baby Christian can come in here and all they know is that we don't do certain things and we do certain things. We dress a certain way. We say there's a reason for it. So they conform. But that's not in their understanding yet. They just conform because they want to be accepted and they feel God and they want to serve Him. But at some point, they're going to come to a place and say, why am I doing this? If they think that's what makes them righteous, they're not getting the understanding yet. When you equate, you know, keeping of certain commandments is what makes you righteous. In other words, you know, And matter of fact, you'll become self-righteous before you get righteous. You put on a standard, you'll be self. If you ain't self, I'd like to know somebody that don't get self-righteous. Because when you start doing right, you start feeling good about yourself. And then you start looking at other people that's not doing as right as you're doing right, and you're thinking, look at you. Look at her. Look at how she dressed. When you're not stopping and thinking of how you looked sometime not too far back. And now you want to judge everybody and put them on your same level. In fact, in here, we meet people and we see faults in them. And we either want to say, well, because they're doing this, I could do it too. I thought it was wrong. But it seems like God's blessing them, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're right. Maybe I can get by with this. It's not wise to compare yourselves with yourself because God, He's working on you. He's working on you because you're you. That's why. Because you have to think through your head and not through somebody else's. I have pastors now, you know, since I'm trying to oversee churches, I have pastors trying to ask me how to do things when I have to tell them, if I knew how to think through your brain, I could tell you how to do it. I can tell you how I would do it, but I can tell you it won't work for you. But I can tell you the statutes of God and the principles and precepts that you're going to have to operate in to get the job done. But you can't do it just like me because you'd have to ask me every time you started to do something. So you work out your own salvation in the position of leadership that God's put you in. But stay within the confines of the statutes and the law of God. And, you know, I'll watch you. I've learned some things from some of them because they did it differently. And I thought, hey, that works better than the way I do it. Sometimes I think, that ain't going to work. Sometimes I say, I know that won't work. But sometimes you have to let people find out for themselves it won't work. I did like Sister Crow's talk about the old-time preachers that put it out straight. And I think we need that, you know. But we can't go back and operate like we did 40 or 50 years ago. That was a different world. Those men, you know, God brought this ministry out of a roughshod group of people. And they was dealing with roughshod people. And today, people won't take it. However, they need some of it. They got, you know, really what it boils down to is you got to cut the fat out and get the bottom of this before it's done. And we can't compromise and make you feel good all the way because it don't feel good all the way. When the flesh is on fire, God's burning the flesh out of you, I can't make you like that. Sometimes I may be the one putting the heat on. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes I know. But it is a process. And the Lord is... You know, we're having to find our way in all of this, even in the world and the society we're working with. I want to save people. At the same time, I don't want to compromise with their sin. I don't want to put up with a bunch of tomfoolery that'll destroy the church while we're putting up with a bunch of foolishness. That's where you got to be careful. Verse 12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. That's arrogant sins. Those are no sins you know. In other words, I've just made up my mind, no matter what God says about it, I'm going to do it. You know, you're going to have to, God, keep me from getting in that kind of spirit. That I'm just, you know, I know it ain't right, but I ain't going to work on it right now. let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. The great transgression is when you decide you're going to do your own will instead of God's will. That's a deliberate violation of toward God. That's great when you stand up to God. You're His child, and you've submitted to Him, and you say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to do it. I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway." There are some things you're going to have to get in your understanding. Like, let's go back to standards for an example. There's things about standards. There's standards that would be moderate and they'd be okay that violates what this ministry teaches. But it's not expedient. Remember, Paul said, all things are lawful, but they're not expedient. See, there's things that you could do that would be lawful. It wouldn't be a sin, but it wouldn't build up. It would tear down. It would hinder. It would hurt. You know, in other words, there's certain standards that we keep that if you violated it, you know, if everybody had a good mind to be righteous in all that they do, that'd be all right. Let's just take women's pants, since we just had a big issue about that in the last few years. I've seen women in pants that are more moderate and look better than a lot of women in dresses that I've seen. Now, that's just the truth, and every one of you that's got a mind that's mature enough knows it's true. I've seen Baptist women wear pants that was very moderate. You couldn't tell no more about them. They were loose enough on them. They were becoming. They were all right. I should maybe just said Baptist women, but I mean, I knew that's what they were. It was moderate. It was all right. But just because one person does something moderate that's all right, doesn't mean that everybody will follow suit, because there's a whole lot of young girls, if we said pants was okay, it wouldn't be very long they'd be wearing pants in here, some of them, that they look like they've melted and poured into them, and that wouldn't be moderate. You know, I've told people before about women wearing pants. I've told women this. I said, go sit down in the mall. Just sit down in the mall and watch women go by. And look at them. Look at their body. Look at what men would look at. And tell me if it's moderate. Tell me how much imagination you'd have to figure out what that woman looked like without any clothes on. You may wind up like Sister Crow. You might say, here comes the devil. And see, there. So that's a statute. We've set forth a statute in this body of why we don't do certain things, because it's not because it wouldn't be lawful, but it's not expedient. That word expedient means edify. It won't edify. It won't build up. It'll hurt things. It'll go the wrong direction. If we don't hold a standard somewhere, I always liked Brother Brown put forth a standard, even for men. I liked it. He said, the body's made up of joints. And when you wear clothes, once you move up a joint or above a joint, you can't put any stop to it till you get to the next joint. That's true. You just can't. That's why, I've tried to hold men to at least half-sleeve shirts. You know, in the past, we've held all long-sleeve. I don't hardly ever wear any kind of shirt but a long-sleeve shirt. And if I'm going away from home, I mean, in my house, I might have on a T-shirt if it's just me and Ann. You know, if it's just us. But, you know, but I do feel like there's exceptions to this. There's women that work in hospitals. They're required to wear scrubs. And I've always said, if you're a man that are lusting after a woman in scrubs, you have got a problem. And there's jobs that, you know, like we have a kennel. Them dogs jump up on. I have those women wear pant or scrubs. But I ask them to wear their tops down low enough that covers their bottom. Cover you up some. You know, but I wouldn't be out here looking like the world, and I wouldn't be an example to young people. I think we need to be a holy people. We need to have a reason for the sanctification and holiness that we hold on to. It's not everything's not expedient that's lawful. Get that. There's reasons. There's statutes for that. I'm not just working on dress standards. Y'all know I don't work on that. That's not my hobby horse. I'm interested in your character. What's showing out in your behavior because what's in your character. I could dress you up and from head to toe and have you button your top button and, you know, have you all the way down to your ankles, and it ain't going to do a thing for you if you don't get some godly righteousness mixed in there with it. But I do know that we've got to have statutes because we've got to edify. We've got to build up this world in righteousness. The church has got to be different. It's got to be set apart. It's got to stand for something. Or it'll fall for anything. So, I want to be upright. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, what I'm thinking on, what I'm meditating on, what's coming out of my mouth. And I ought to say this, I'll add this to it. Not just the words coming out of my mouth, but what my behavior speaks. Let it be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So there's a, you know, we're serving a great God, and I'd go on and talk a little bit more about the acceptable time if we had time, but we don't. We need to take up the offering, receive your offering. We're not going to take it from you, but we're going to receive it before we go downstairs and eat. The ushers have come. Let's remember some of the requests. My mother's really failing here lately. She's, you know, Sister Smith was coming this morning. I don't know, something happened, I'm sure, that where she couldn't. But anyway, you know, we know that mother's not going to live a whole lot longer. And, you know, she's just wearing out. She can't hardly walk anymore. And it's creating a lot of difficulty for her to care for her. And so pray that God will help us, continue to help us, and continue to touch her. I know that, you know, she's failing, and I know she's not going to be here forever. And but I do count it a blessing to be able to take care of her. And, you know, I feel like she's worthy of our care and our help. Sometimes it's difficult. And so keep praying for her. And then let's keep praying for this Linder boy. I know he goes back, I'm sure, to the Linder family that's out of Texas, Houston, Kerrville area. Some of them live, and Sister Bryant. All right, Brandon. Let's also keep remembering Brother Brett's knee. And who? Oh, Sister Lou's. Yes, supposed to have surgery Friday. Did she? Oh, how's she doing? All right, let's pray for her. I remember she told me she's going to have surgery, but I didn't get the date in my mind locked in. Also, let's keep praying for Sister Elsie. And, of course, Brother Dave's sick today home. And of course, Gail's, you know, taking care of Sister Elsie and different family members and all been in. And, of course, they still say this cancer is terminal, but they are thinking that if she would accept radiation treatment, that it would help her pain-wise. And they don't know how long they might get arrested or, you know, keep it from spreading rapidly or being aggressive. But so let's pray. You know, they've got decisions to make. I appreciate Brother Al. He's staying faithful on the job. You know, they're taking care of her so he can get away to come to church. And so I love this family. Appreciate them. I know you do too. Let's keep praying for them. What else? Sister Donna? All right. Somebody else have their hand up? Brother Mike Crafton's mother. Brother Keith. Yes, okay. Brother Mark. All right, Brother Mark's shoulder still not healed up. My hip, too. I'll be honest with you, I think it's my sciatic nerve and not really my hip. It just affects your hip. But anyway, I appreciate your prayers. Keep praying for Brother Henry back there. He's going through health issues, and I know God's able to help him. All right. He'll be in the hospital the next few days. Yes. All right, Sister Karen, keep praying for her. She's not feeling well today. We're a needy people, aren't we? My Lord, let's stand and ask Him to help us with these needs. Precious Lord, God, we love You today. Thank You, Lord, for Your help, Your strength, oh God, for Your covering over our lives. Ask You to help us, oh God, with these needs that we're placing before You today. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Precious Lamb of God. God, touch the work in the Dominican Republic. Brother Green, help him, Lord. Oh, God, those brethren there, touch them, oh God. Their present needs also, Jesus. Praise God, praise God. God, just have Your way, Lord, with these situations and help us, oh God, to know how to work with You in all of them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. All right. You can be seated. One of the brethren come and receive your offering today. God bless you as you give.
excellent Bible study and a wonderful spirit here this morning, and good teaching to help us understand the precepts and God's character and nature and how He's putting it down in our lives. And it's been a wonderful morning. I wanted to say it's good to have Brother Joe here this morning. He's been here the last several services, but appreciate him. And I'm looking forward to tonight to see what God will have in store for us. I love what God's doing in our life, and I appreciate His goodness and His kindness. And I'm glad I'm part of this family too, not just this local assembly, but the body of Christ. I appreciate so much that He brought me here. And so are we having band practice today, 4 o'clock, and choir? That's, let's see, to be determined. That would be TBD. I'm learning all those acronyms and shortcuts, and I'm a plumber, but I'm being forced into the 21st century. So why don't we stand, and let's thank God for this wonderful service, and let's ask God to bless this food, and let's open ourselves up tonight for what God has. Say, Lord, if you want to use me, if I can help in any small way, God, I want to make myself available. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. God, for your loving kindness, for these wonderful words that we received here today. God, put it way down in our heart, Lord, and let it bloom. Let it prosper. Let it bring forth fruit, God. And we're asking, Lord, that you would bless this time of fellowship downstairs, God, that you would bless the food and prepare all those that prepared it, God. Bless them, and then go with us the rest of this day and bring us back safe. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. All right, everybody's welcome to stay. Shake hands and be friendly. God bless y'all. You're dismissed. Thank you.